Welcome to another episode of the Three Count Podcast, and we are A Town Down. I'm your host, Dylan Chambers. Alongside me, Mr. Money in the Wallet, Benny Hobden. Benny, how'd you enjoy the pay-per-view?
Mate, looking back now, I like it a bit more than what I did when I watched it, to be honest. Okay. I thought there was a couple of matches that weren't great or whatever else, and there's a couple of things that I didn't like, but the more I think about it, like just writing notes and stuff today, I sort of enjoyed it a little bit more, I think, than what I did.
Getting the half thumbs up from Benny.
Yeah.
We've got a lot to get through on today's show. We're going to cast our eye over every match that happened in Money in the Bank. Going to look at all the headlines as we usually do. Plus, we've got a draft I'm super excited about today. We're going to draft our favorite entrances. Now, nice. When we get to the draft, we'll explain a little bit more about what we mean with favorite entrances, but I'm pumped. Now, make sure you follow us on the socials for all the draft results and episode drops at 3CountPod on Twitter and Facebook, at 3CountPodcast on Instagram. If you're watching on YouTube, hit that subscribe button and the follow button on Spotify and Apple Podcasts. Now I've got the housekeeping out of the way, Benny. What's making news?
Well, mate, I guess quickly on AEW, we had a new champ today.
We did.
Big Wardlow.
Wardlow, new TNT champion.
Which was expected. They weren't gonna like not give him the title unless it was a complete schmoz. But I think the best thing to come out of today as well, though, was Christian Cage. How good was that little back and forth with Matt Hardy?
Yeah. For those that haven't seen it, Christian is now fully heel.
Fully heel.
His new catchphrase, instead of outwork everyone, is worked everyone.
Yeah.
He's got Luchasaurus by his side. Matt Hardy came out, and Christian just took dig after dig after dig at Jeff Hardy.
He told him that he makes his brother look sober compared to him at the moment. I was like, wow, that was pretty solid.
So, yeah, so that was a nice squash. They just beat the crap out of poor old Matt Hardy.
Yeah, Luchasaurus is a beast. I think they can run with something there. That'll be good.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't see that exact thing happening where
Christian
was taking the step back. Luchasaurus, he got the black mask now. He's badass. And yeah, I think they're going to have fun with it. And not surprisingly, we had Mox successfully defend his interim world title against Brody King.
Yeah, that was always going to happen.
It was.
Brody's great and everything, but I didn't even think anybody was expecting him to win the Rumble the other day. So, I mean, Mox was always going to dominate him.
Do you think Mox holds the title till Punk's back?
I think so. Unless if there's anything with MJF, but I mean, if MJF gets the title...
MJF gets the title.
Imagine that. I think Punk holds onto it.
Yeah. Now, we found out that PAC's first All-Atlantic title defense will not be on AEW. It's going to be at Revolution Pro, an event in England against Shota Umino. So good luck to PAC there. Now, on Dynamite today, we had FTR. They challenged the Briscoes to a match at Ring of Honor, Death Before Dishonor. As we remember, their last match was an absolute cracker.
Belter.
So that'll be fun. And, you know, that card's starting to take shape now. You know, we've got confirmed Samoa Joe defending his TV title against Jay Lethal. I've got Wheeler Yuta defending his Pure Championship against Daniel Garcia. Unconfirmed but expected is Brian Cage challenging Jonathan Gresham for the world title. So
a couple of good matches on there.
Yeah. I'm sure it'll be a good pay-per-view. Now, shifting focus back to WWE, Ben, we found out that Logan Paul's new contract is in fact a long-term one.
Yeah.
We're not sure if it's going to be full-time or just for big events, but he's going to be around a while.
I think it won't be there. Like he'll do like sort of slots, I'd say.
Yeah.
I don't think he'll be an everyday wrestler and that kind of stuff.
So it'll be interesting to see if he, you know, kind of tries to make his Miz kind of way up, you know, from reality TV star to, you know.
Well, if he performs well, I mean, there's definitely potential there for it to happen. But it's just going to be, at the moment, it's just going to be a spot sort of thing. And then they'll just use him to get those views and clips and all that kind of stuff in.
Absolutely. Well, I mean, it's already WWE's most liked photo on Instagram. So,
is it really? I didn't see that.
It's working already, Logan Paul. Now, let's talk about this mysterious vignette, Benny. Take us through it.
Well, yeah. Initially, you think very Bray Wyatt-esque. That's what everybody thought. You know, all that like weird jolty stuff and all that kind of thing and the horror theme and everything behind it.
But then we've seen quite a few different clues of different things in it. So we had the Latino Heat number plate on fire. We had the Kurt Angle medal hanging, which everyone thought Gable Steveson. But we also had the Dudley glasses. We had the Hardy armbands. So, I mean, it's got to be Edge, right?
It seems that way. I mean, who else could it be?
Exactly. Like, is there anybody else that's coming back? I can't think of it. And I mean, like, if it's somebody that we don't know at all, then it's not going to make any sense why they would have all those other things there.
No.
So I think it's all people that Edge has beaten in the past and, like, yeah, all different, like, big things that Edge has gone through in his career and everything. And they need to repackage him anyway to come back. And what's, like, Judgment Day since he's left done nothing? Obviously, Rhea's injured.
Yeah.
Balor and that are getting around on Main Event at the moment kind of thing. Like, it's not, yeah, exactly. Like, they were the biggest thing in wrestling, and then all of a sudden they're all not wrestling in WWE, and now they're getting around on Main Event. So I think it's got to be Edge. He'll come back. But it seemed too dark for him to come back as a face. So I don't think he can come back as a heel either, because he was already a heel. So it doesn't make sense there.
Yeah.
But it'll be interesting. WWE, I don't know what they do.
It'll be, yeah. I mean, if it is Edge, which we're assuming it's going to be, yeah, that's going to lift the Judgment Day up, having a feud with him over. You would hope they, you know, lengthen it out, building up to SummerSlam, because that's probably where it's going to be. You know, Demon Balor, Demon Edge.
Yeah, well, but you can't have two heels, surely. Like, he'll get cheered anyway. But I mean, I think, well, SummerSlam's what, 3.5 weeks away.
Yeah, there's not much time.
No, so if he won't, I reckon they'll do another package, and then we'll get something weird, and then the week before. But I mean, if it's not for SummerSlam, it's for something else, and they wait even longer, then I don't know what they're going to do.
Who knows?
It's WWE.
I'm excited to find out. In any case, they've got me up for it. Now, Tyson Fury, reportedly in talks to return this summer. There's not much our winter, but there's not much of summer left.
He's retired now in the boxing ring. So, I mean,
yeah, according to Give Me Sport, he's in negotiations. So, Clash at the Castle?
Yeah, well, you'd think so over there. That would make sense.
Yeah. Now, Benny, what did you make of the re-debut of Marseille and Mansoir, Max Dupree's male models?
I knew you'd have a smile on your face for this. This is right up your alley. Right up your alley. Mate, I flicked through it pretty quickly. I'm not gonna lie. Yeah. That was terrible.
My favorite part of the whole gimmick is Pat McAfee saying Max Dupree's name. That's my favorite part of the whole gimmick. Max Dupree.
The way he does all those little, he carries on a bit. But mate, McAfee's been like a godsend over on SmackDown. Like, he's been really good. He just keeps going from strength to strength, I think.
Absolutely. And he's in with the big wigs. We saw UFC 276 straight after Money in the Bank. Vince, Stephanie, and Triple H, and Nick Khan.
Nick was sitting there. They just cut him out of the photo.
Poor Nick Khan. They all jumped over to UFC to watch the...
So, funnily enough, Tony Khan and JR were there as well.
Ah, yeah, there you go.
They were on the other side of the ring, so that was pretty funny.
Fight.
I reckon that's the only reason Vince went. Vince wouldn't usually go to that kind of thing. But we all sort of know why he was there. I guess they would have had pre-warning of what happened with Adesanya's entrance.
Yes. So for those who haven't seen it, go back and see it. Israel Adesanya just channeled The Undertaker. It was
full theme music.
It was fantastic. Lights,
everything, the urn, the hat. It was amazing.
That was great stuff.
Yeah.
Now let's move on to NXT, and we've just had the Great American Bash. We've got Cora Jade and Roxanne Perez, the new NXT Women's Tag Team title holders.
Yeah. I didn't see that coming, to be honest, but that was a good win. Cora Jade's awesome.
Yeah, definitely. Did you hear about this or see the mysterious QR code?
No.
So WWE ran a mysterious QR code during the coverage, right? Mm-hmm. And if you click on it... screenshot it, whatever you kids do these days with QR code. It sends you to a WWE website, all black, and all it has is 8-10-11. As to what that is, I don't know. I thought maybe it's a date. I went back and checked, if there was something on NXT in 2011 on the, you know, in October or in August, depending on how they want to flip the date. I couldn't find anything. So it could be a Bible verse. I think there's a Bible verse about rebirth or something. Yeah. Interesting way to go about things.
Bray's coming back to NXT.
Everything with me is Bray, you know that.
Right. Bring him back. Bring him back, Bray, so Benny can stop talking about it. All right, Benny. Now let's get into this Money in the Bank card. We did it, Liv. We did it.
Look, as soon as it happened, because you watched it on delay because you were a bit busy in the morning, and I texted you. I was like, are you watching? And you're like, oh, I'm catching up. And I was like, oh, okay. So I sat there waiting. So I was two matches in front of you. And then all of a sudden I get your text. Yes, Liv. I was like, oh, I've been waiting for that warning. Like,
I was cooking at the time and I just dropped the spoon. I was like, yes, this is happening. So Women's Money in the Bank. It was a pretty grueling match. You know, some good spots there from Raquel Gonzalez lifting Becky and Liv up while they were on the ladder.
Yeah, I was going to say, they made her look strong in that match.
They made her look very strong. She did a double suplex. The brutal leg drop from Becky to Asuka on the ladder outside, which had no give to it.
No give at all. Like, they just both bounced. It was like, oh, that's got to hurt.
So we had Liv and Becky. Eventually, they found themselves perched on two ladders. Becky tried to push Liv's down, used a foot to catch the top rope and bounce back, where she knocked Becky off and grabbed the briefcase. What did you rate it, Benny?
Mate, I gave it a two originally, and I was going to make it a little bit lower, but I'm going to stick with two. I thought it was a decent match. They all got their licks in, you know. It was a good match. There was quite a few botches though, mainly Shotzi. But I mean, you can't hate on her for it. It's like a ladder match is a grueling match, you know.
And feet are gonna slip off ladders.
Yeah, exactly. Like, she tried to run up the ladder. She tried to do a Kofi. Like, you can't. He's been doing that for years. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
They tried to cover it up, but it was just the fact that she made so many of them, kind of thing.
Yeah.
So it was a bit tough on her, but I rated it a two. And then I thought to myself, comparing the twos that I gave out for a different pay-per-view recently, whatever else, I was like, it wasn't as good as that. But then I guess because we were sort of stuck with a three count, I have to just sort of think what I think at the time and just go with a two. But if I compared it to matches in the past of other matches that I've given two, it'd probably be a one. So,
okay.
But, you know, it is what it is.
There's a WWE grading scale, right?
Yeah, and, well, it's WWE and AEW have two different styles of twos and three-star matches, so three-count matches. So,
Well, I agree. I gave it a two-count as well. There was a lot of good spots. Wasn't perfect by any means. It was kind of like semi-brutal in parts. Definitely enjoyable. And, you know, I probably would have given it a one-and-a-half count and got that extra half count for the ending.
Because of Liv. Yeah, I knew that was coming.
We did it.
I was happy for Liv.
We did it. What's next for Becky?
Well, she had the match with Asuka, the no holds barred match with Asuka on Raw.
That was a great match.
Pretty good match.
Great match.
That was pay-per-view quality match. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, and they put it on Raw. I was surprised with that. Like, that could have been the main event at SummerSlam kind of match. You know what I mean?
So, absolutely.
She's sort of still gone off the rails a little bit. I don't know. She'll just try and get back in the title picture. She'll challenge Liv.
Was she on the comeback now? That win over Asuka.
Spoiler alert. Sorry. Yeah.
I think we're pretty safe.
Yeah, everybody should have already watched the pay-per-view. We're just talking about it because we like to. She's got rid of Asuka now. Who's her next challenger kind of thing? You know what I mean?
I know it's building up to it, like this Becky Belair rematch. To be honest, I don't want to see it.
Nah. The whole SummerSlam thing for me makes sense.
Yeah.
That's why they should have that. But yeah, I don't know.
Looking at these other girls, now I had a thought. Yeah. They've got to start doing something with Alexa, right? She's too talented to just be doing these like throwaway parts. You know, they need to give her something. Here's my call. Bring back the tag belts. I want an Alexa and Raquel tag team.
Okay.
You got the big, you got the little. Yeah, that's what I want to see. One thing else I want to see is Lacey Evans.
Yeah, gone. She's terrible. She was getting booed so hard in that women's match.
No, the crowd didn't want her to win every time she climbed the ladder. She's not over. I'm sorry,
her first run, she was over a little bit.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And then she went away, and then she's come back. Those vignettes, everyone was off them so hard.
Yeah.
like they're trying to just push it down their throats, and the fans don't like that. They like it natural, you know what I mean? They just like it sort of to happen.
It's like they're saying, forgetting Sarah Marshall, right? You're doing too much. Do less.
Yeah, there you go.
Do less. So, moving on, Benny, US Championship match, Theory and Bobby Lashley. Pretty hard-hitting match. You know, Lashley had control early on. Theory doing his heelish best as he does. Eventually got a bit of momentum. I thought they booked Theory kind of strong in this one as well.
Yeah, very strong. He looked really good. He got a lot of stuff in on Lashley, and Lashley sold for him pretty well as well. I thought that definitely helped the match.
He did. Just on a side note, you know, I kind of went down a Theory rabbit hole the other day. I didn't realize how much of kind of an indie guy he was. You know, he's had matches with half the AEW roster. You know, he's won indie titles. So, you know, a bit more respect there growing for Theory. But in the end of this one, you know, he tried to get the A-Town down. It got counted into a hurt lock, and he tapped out. So Lashley, new US champion.
Yeah, I was surprised with this. I thought they were going to keep the title on Theory for a little bit longer. We know why now. But once he got the hurt lock in, you know, it's all over pretty much. Yeah. It's such a protected move, I guess you could say.
Like, absolutely.
Nobody's come out of that. So once he got it in, like if he got out of that, then that would have been a real big push for Theory.
Yeah.
But, I mean, you know, nobody gets out of that. So it was all over. Yeah. He ran away at the beginning of the match doing that whole heelish thing that you talked about. But I still thought he did look solid in the match.
Yeah. With all the stuff looked good.
Lashley, he got in on Lashley. So credit to Lashley for that as well, I think.
Absolutely. What did you rate it?
I only gave it a 1.5, but I still thought it was a decent match.
Yeah, I gave it a 2, actually. I didn't mind it. I thought it was a all-around good match. Like I said, I'm starting to come around. Theory's sharp. He does a great job as a heel. Everyone hates him.
Yeah.
So much respect there. And as for what's next, we already know. They're going head-to-head again at SummerSlam for the US title.
Yeah.
And we'll talk about what else is next further on in the pod.
It's coming.
All right. We move on to the Raw Women's Championship match. Bianca Belair and Carmella. Surprisingly competitive is what I kind of had written down. Carmella gave Belair everything she had, but she ended up getting the KOD for the Belair win. And she then attacked the champ after the match.
Yeah, I've written here pretty average match, to be honest. So, Mella got her licks in again. She did all that work, you know. Belair just sold well, you know. She played the perfect face, essentially. You know, it was a perfect sort of storytelling of heel face reaction. She got the big comeback. Mella stopped her again. She slapped her in the face, and then Belair just clicked into gear and went, "Okay, well that's it. KOD. It's all over." So
yeah,
it was an okay match, but it was average.
Yeah, I mean average for me. So I gave it a 1.5. Not bad. Not good. What you expect from a Belair title match when you know that she's going to win. Shout out to Carmella. She had an all right match. Like, you know, Carmella isn't by any means, sorry, Corey, she's not by any means one of the best talents on the roster, but she can look pretty good when her heart's in it.
Are you talking about the most beautiful woman on the wrestling card? Is that what you're saying?
Apparently.
Corey will be after you, mate. Shout out to Graves. Yeah, look, I think what got it over at the end was that whole attacking her as well, that kind of thing. That sort of helped it a little bit.
Absolutely.
And she took a pretty hard bump, like, after when she attacked her. I don't know if she was ready for it, to be honest, Belair, she's just really good. Belair just sold that perfectly.
Then she did. Just jump straight out and face first. It was almost like one of those Ric Flair, when falls on his face.
Boom, yeah.
Yeah.
That was good.
What do we see next for the Raw Women's Championship?
I reckon Mella will probably get a rematch, to be honest.
Wow. Okay.
I think, yeah. As we just talked about, we've said that Becky and Belair SummerSlam. So I think Becky will sort of include herself in some way over Carmella. And then isn't that how she went into the SummerSlam last year?
Yeah. Yeah.
So she took Carmella's position. So, I mean, we're sort of going down the same sort of path again.
That's true.
They might do exactly the same thing again. Like Carmella versus Becky. Carmella versus Belair, and then Becky comes out and just goes, "I'm having the match." Like, stranger things have happened, mate. Like, seriously.
Oh, can you imagine the booze raining down? That would be brilliant.
Yeah, it'd be funny though.
Here's my bold prediction. Triple threat match. Belair, Ripley, and Becky.
Mm, Belair, I mean, Ripley, is she cleared yet?
Not yet, but apparently it wasn't that. It was a kind of teeth and a bit of a head knock.
Yeah.
She seemed to play off that it wasn't going to put her out for that long.
Yeah.
But I guess SummerSlam isn't that far away.
Yeah.
I guess I want something else for Rhea, but I guess it sort of can't happen with the whole Judgment Day on Raw thing. Because what I thought for Rhea would be she'd go over to SmackDown for a bit. But, I mean, that doesn't really work.
No.
I'm still sticking with Belair and Becky, SummerSlam.
Okay, let's move on to a different tag team, a different title match. The Undisputed WWE Tag Team Championship match. The Usos, the Street Profits, an incredible match. I don't often say that for WWE matches that don't involve Cody Rhodes. but these two teams put on an absolute clinic. The Usos won this epic controversial finish where it looked like Montez Ford's shoulder was off the mat. I'm just going to go straight out and say it, Benny. I gave it a 3 count.
Really?
As good a tag team match as you get, I think. For me, in my eyes, the Profits took a big step up. I mean, I know they were good, but they just went to another level. They keep teasing this breakup. I don't want to see it. After this match, I don't want to see it. They got to give them the straps, man.
Yeah. I think so too. I've always been a Tez Ford. Like, Montez is amazing, and I always thought he was great. But Dawkins looked amazing in this match as well. Like, he took a step up from there.
He did that flip over the top rope to the outside, like, for a big man.
That's yeah.
Amazing. Well,
and Montez always does that one over the top of the ring corner.
Yeah.
Like, I love that one. That's so good. But there were so many false finishes in this match. So many spots, as we talked about. And just so many saves, like those false finishes, like that just at the last second, you were like, whoa, how did he get out of that?
Yeah.
And then obviously the controversial finish, which just leads to them two fighting again for the titles. Like, they have to.
SummerSlam. That's what I want to see.
Yeah. Like, I gave it a 2 3/4 count. I can't give out that 3. I just can't give out.
What's it going to take to get a 3 count, Ben?
That's one of the best tag match that WWE's put on in a long time. And it'd be up there with the Cody and Seth match for match of the year in my eyes.
Yeah, absolute classic. Hopefully we see it again at SummerSlam. I don't know if you call this one a classic, but the SmackDown Women's Championship match, Ronda Rousey, Natalia, pretty physical bout.
It was very technical.
It was very technical. I mean, the finishing sequence was quite good with all the submission reversals, which ended with Rousey tapping out Natty. But we'll then go beyond that, because after the match happened, we know that Liv Morgan cashed in the Money in the Bank briefcase on the hobbled Rousey. Looked like she was going to tap out to the ankle lock. Man, I really thought it was done.
Straight into the ankle lock. I was like, it's all over. She's not cashing in. It's like they've given her the briefcase and then they've just gone, screw you, Liv. That was your chance. You're gone.
That would have been so painful. That would have just taken the air out of the building for sure.
Yeah.
She and then kicked Rousey's sore leg, rolled her up for the 1-2-3. Liv Morgan, your new SmackDown Women's Champion.
What a pop when she won. The crowd went crazy. And it was good that the crowd went crazy, though, because that match, they'd been so flat with all that technical wrestling and whatever else. After that amazing tag team match, into that, everyone was just like, oh, get this over with. And I think it went too long in my eyes.
That was my thoughts, too. Like, they got really stiffed by coming out after that tag team match.
Exactly right, yeah. But then obviously Liv, that she was so emotional. And it was pure emotion. It was like pure joy. You could see it, like, which is great, you know.
Yeah.
And new champ, good to see.
I gave it a 1.5. You know, not the greatest match of all time. I probably would have given it a little bit under, to be honest, but the extra half for the cash-in.
Yeah, I gave it a 1 and I don't even count the cash-in. The cash-in, just happened at the end.
That's its own thing.
Yeah, so I only gave it a 1 count.
What happens with Liv as champ now over on SmackDown?
Well, this is what I was going to say about Rhea. Like, obviously, the ultimate would be Rhea challenges Liv for the title. You know, so, like, because of their little past history and whatever else.
Yeah.
But that can't happen because Rhea's with the Judgment Day and she's on Raw. But does that really matter these days with the way that everybody's going from different brand to different brand? Because, like, we've seen Liv on Raw this week anyway. So,
yeah.
I don't know who's over there.
I've heard that they're gonna continue this Liv Rousey feud.
I don't like. It's not a feud though.
No, not a feud. Yeah, just the Rousey's gonna get a rematch. I mean, I assume that's gonna happen. Maybe Natty just ruins that.
I was gonna say Natty will get a shot before Rousey. I reckon she'll screw Rousey over to get a shot.
But
a lot of people, when like they always have to go through Natty to prove themselves and whatever else, because she's like the flag bearer. She's the company girl. So I feel like that Natty will be the next one to fight for the title. Because she'll be like, I had such a good match, whatever else. Or there might be some sort of four-way to see who the next, you know, challenger is or something like that.
Well, you know who's been on holiday.
Oh, well, of course. She's going to come back.
The queen.
I had that written down, actually, but I lost all my notes. I had to rewrite them. And I literally had that, and I forgot that now. So now that you said it, yeah.
The Queen, Charlotte Flair. I think they could have a great feud, Liv and Charlotte.
Or she just comes back for, 14th title, right?
Yeah.
If they let Charlotte take over the title that quickly, that'd be devastating.
Yeah. I can just see it now, you know, some of the promos of, you know, Charlotte talking about, you know, she wasn't even strong enough to lead her own faction and, you know, that kind of thing. And she got left by the other two there. And
Charlotte is good like that.
I think they could do some good stuff. And hey, Bailey's kind of due back soon too. So
Bailey is due. But who's she coming back to? Is she on the SmackDown roster?
I think they'll hold her off for a surprise somewhere. Wherever they can fit her.
Well, do they Rumble's too far away.
Yeah. I don't know if they insert her straight into a title picture or... I don't know what they do with Bailey, to be honest. I do want to see her back, though.
Her and Liv could have a good match, though.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, Benny, let's get to the main event. The men's Money in the Bank ladder match. We had all the guys we thought were going to be in it. And before the match started, Adam Pearce comes out and tells us that there's going to be an eighth entrant, and it's going to be Theory.
When he came out, who did you think it was going to be?
I honestly had no idea.
Why I was thinking Cena for some reason. I don't know why. Just something in my head was thinking Cena. And I was like, if this is Cena, the crowd's going to pop. And I'm just going to be like, what the hell is going on?
I thought, no, it's not Bray's spot. I couldn't think of anyone who it could be. But I certainly wasn't thinking Theory.
No, not at all. And then we got A-Town down. So
yeah. So, I mean, from that call, it kind of almost felt a bit like a foregone conclusion.
He didn't do
much in the match, so I was like, oh, maybe not. And then I thought to myself, oh, okay, actually, no, he's not doing that much, that's why.
Yeah, it's almost a shame because it was, if you look at the match as a whole, it was a really good match. You know, Sheamus and McIntyre beat the absolute piss out of each other.
They carried that match. They were the main chunk of that match, just beating the absolute hell out of each other. It was so good.
They had most of the participants all got together and threw your boy Omos through a table.
And buried him underneath some ladders.
Yeah. Absolute star of the match, Riddle. Like, he did a floating bro off the top of a giant ladder onto everyone. Yeah. Hit that huge RKO, like, off the ladder.
I thought Seth was dead. Seriously. That was a brutal RKO. Like, I actually thought he was dead.
There was not much room underneath to work with. There was a ladder kind of lying by the side. They did it magnificently. And then he climbed up and it looked like Riddle was going to win it. And Theory just knocked him off and claimed the briefcase.
Yeah. I gave it a 2.5 count. I thought it was a really good match.
I gave it a 2 and I docked it a half count for the ending.
See, what, 1.5? Or you gave it a
2? I gave it 2.
Oh, right.
It was a brilliant ladder match. Brilliant ladder match, but I docked it a half, because of the...
Because of Theory.
Because of the result.
Yeah. Well, what happens from here? I think Seth and Riddle go into a bit of a feud.
It seems that way.
Like he attacked him again, that kind of stuff. So
They could steal the show at SummerSlam too, so...
Yeah, I think so.
I don't see Theory cashing in anytime soon. Reigns has both titles.
Have you seen all those memes of like Reigns and Brock laughing? And it's like, oh, this is whenever Theory runs down to the ring to cash in his title. So I reckon they might tease Theory coming out and then Reigns and Brock will just turn around during their match or something and look at him. And then he'll just retreat back inside with his briefcase and go, no, I'm not doing it. Something like that at SummerSlam.
He's got to do the sneaky, just come out and pin someone, right?
Well, it is a last man standing match, though.
Yeah.
Remember. So all he's got to do is just, while they're both down, just come out and just put a finger on them.
Yeah.
And then it's 1, 2, 3. Because they've got to get up at 10. So, I mean, it's only a 3 of that 10.
I feel like they're going to tease it and he's not going to end up cashing in.
Yeah, that's what I reckon as well. Yeah. Because Brock and Reigns will just turn around and beat the living crap out of him before he gets a chance to cash it in.
Yeah. But look, I don't think it's going to hurt him carrying the briefcase around for a long time.
No.
It's always fun to see the guys, especially the heels, carry that briefcase
around. I was just going to say, it's perfect for a heel to carry the briefcase because they can tease it all the time and it's just, they just do those dastardly things that a heel does and he's really good at it and everyone hates him. So all the times that he pretends to cash it in, the fans are going to be just on his back giving it to him. So I think that's great. It'll be great for him.
Yeah. I don't mind it. I don't mind.
If he keeps putting in those athletic like matches and stuff like that, he's going to win the crowd over eventually.
Yeah. I was a little bit dirty at it just because I picked 5 of the 6 matches and that was the one that I didn't pick.
I had a shocker, to be honest. It is what it is.
It is what it is.
My mate almost. What's going on with him? It's just. I don't know what they can do. Exactly. That's what I was going to say. You can't do anything with him because one on one, he's just too dominant because he's so big. Like nobody can beat him. Like I don't know who. Like
I don't know what they do with him.
Get Rey Mysterio to beat him, like the great Khali Rey Mysterio match.
I mean, what he was doing with AJ was perfect.
Yeah.
Stay in that lane. They went, you know, away from that way too quickly. Or he could have just gone and backed someone else up. Put him behind someone else again, I reckon.
Does he go behind Lashley? Like, do they reform or some sort of hurt locker sort of thing? I don't know.
Lashley doesn't need him.
No, I know. But
you know who would need him? Theory.
Hey, hang on. He might be onto something there. It's got a bit of HBK and Kevin Nash style about it.
I mean, if Omos lays out one of the champions for an easy pin.
It's not a bad thought.
Yeah, makes sense. So they won't do it.
Yeah.
Benny, so that's it. We have Theory. Overall good pay-per-view. You missed the Money in the Bank. Yeah, I enjoyed it. I thought it was a pretty good pay-per-view overall.
Yeah.
Now, moving on, Benny, it's time. We mentioned earlier Israel Adesanya cosplayed as The Undertaker for his UFC 276 entrance. We thought, let's go 10 rounds, toe-to-toe, picking the best wrestling entrances. Now, when we say best entrances, we don't mean one-off special ones like the WrestleManias, you know, with your boy Triple H doing an epic one every year. We don't mean the best entrance music. We mean the whole package.
Yeah.
The music, the pageantry, maybe even the pyro. As long as it was done on a regular basis, that's what we're talking about here.
Yeah. There's only one number one, right?
I actually have two. I've got two on the same level. Now, I believe you get to pick first, Benny.
I do. I personally think there's only one number one, and he's one of the greatest of all time, and Adesanya did it, and it's The Undertaker. So I'm taking Undertaker with number one.
Okay, I like it. I like it. That was my equal number one, and that leaves me with the other one, which is going to be Goldberg.
Yeah, he was my number three. So he had a great entrance, that whole WCW run and everything.
Knocking on the door, the headbutt, walking through like Wardlow's doing now, you know, walking through the back, the pyro, him blowing the smoke out.
Boom, 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 the kick, everything.
Yeah, and we're talking old Goldberg, like not old Goldberg, but
we're talking
WCW 90, Goldberg.
97, 98, 99 Goldberg. Yeah.
Absolutely.
All right. Well, number two, I'm going to take my boy, Triple H.
All right.
It's time to play the game.
Apparently so. What's your favorite part of the Triple H entrance, Benny?
Well, it's got to be when he spits the water everywhere, doesn't it? but not the first time. The second time when he looks at the hard camera and just blows it at the crowd. Like that one, yeah. How's he got any left? Because he doesn't re-go. He puts so much in the air. How does he have any left? I have no idea.
Amazing stuff from Triple H, turning spitting water into, you know, must-see television.
It's true. Everyone loves it.
Must-see television. All right. Now, I have two here, and okay. I'm going to take the Brood.
Oh, you son of a. So our top four have all been the same so far.
Yeah.
All right. There's another one. I don't know if you're going to take this one.
Before you get to it, let's just go through it quickly. Like, coming up from the ground.
Sorry.
In a circle of fire, goblets of blood.
Goblet of blood, yeah.
Just that creepy music.
Just Gangrel's face, like just that weird smile that he had with like just that vampire-ish sort of thing going on. Like,
so good. Yeah. And like when Edge redid it, so cool. Anyway.
The crowd popped for that. Yeah, now the Brood was awesome. Your boy Christian.
That's it. That's the only entrance he had in my list.
Oh, Captain Karut. No, he didn't do much as Captain Karut.
I thought about the one where he, you know, Christian.
Oh, yeah.
He had good pyro, but that was about it.
Yeah. All right. I don't know with this next one. I'm going to go ECW here.
Oh.
I'm going to go the Sandman.
Sandman.
Coming out in the crowd, smoking cigarettes, drinking beers, just smashing cans on his head. Just the crowd just loving every second of it. Like, it just was amazing when he used to do that.
Bit of Metallica around singing. Yeah,
everyone loves Metallica.
Well, Benny, you're probably going to hate me after this pick.
See, I was going to pick this pick and I didn't. I went with the Sandman instead.
I'm taking Bray Wyatt.
Yeah, I knew you would.
Bray Wyatt, just with the, you know, the fireflies everywhere.
Yeah.
The creepy music. He's got the lantern. So much pageantry there. So
yeah.
I'll give it to Bray Wyatt.
Damn. All right. Well, I might go one back at you then. I might take your boy because he's just a sexy boy. HBK.
That he is.
Yeah.
Good pyro for the HBK.
Great pyro. Drops down to the one knee with the, and then the.
Love it.
Yeah. And just the stuff that he wore and everything else, the music, the pyro, just everything about him.
Yeah.
HBK. Like, I love HBK as well. You know that, but I mean.
Yeah. You're right, though. The pyro, when he gets in the ring and does it and it goes back and forth.
Yeah,
pyro. Yeah, that was epic.
Yeah.
All right. Great pick there, HBK. See, now I'm kind of getting to, you know, I had tiers. All my top tiers are gone. And now I'm kind of in the next tier down.
Literally the first seven I've got written down are the first seven we've picked.
So this is where it gets tough. There's a lot of good ones here. Not that exciting, but it is way up my list. I'm going to take Stone Cold Steve Austin.
Yeah, that's fair.
The breaking glass, coming down to the ring, like, I'm going to beat the crap out of whoever's there.
Just that swagger.
Dropping the birds up when you get down to the ring, do every, you know, pillar.
Yeah.
I'm giving it the head bobble.
Oh, that head bobble. He's not on my list, but that just reminded me of D'Lo Brown. We're talking about the real deal now. Oh, that was hilarious. Stone Cold's a great pick. Great pick. All right. My next one, I'm tossing up. As you said, the next lot of brackets, they could all be the next pick. So I'm going to go with, oh, you didn't know. Your ass That's better good. Call somebody.
The New Age Outlaws. Wow. Yeah.
Their entrance is brilliant. You know, Road Dogg on the mic and just the crotch chops and just.
And it was all mic work. Like,
yeah.
You know, they didn't have anything other special going on, but it was like, as soon as you heard that, popped.
Loved it.
So good. All right. I'm going to take Latino Heat.
Oh, New Age Outlaws are below Eddie on my list, and I didn't.
Eddie Guerrero coming out in the lowrider.
Yeah.
We cheat, we steal. Yeah. The low rider Eddie Guerrero
standing up in the car doing the shake and brilliant. I love Eddie.
So good.
All right. Well, I'm going to take the clock counting down from 10 to 1, and we're going to take Jericho.
The Walls version of Jericho.
Yeah. That was brilliant. When he used to come out, he'd be facing the other direction and then spin around and do his little thing, his hair would flow, jump on the mic.
And possibly, too, you know, one of the greatest poses in
Just the
your back turned.
And then as soon as it hits, he just spins around, like, with the mic in hand always. Pyro hits. Like, Jericho was awesome.
Well, I remember originally they used to have the pyro hit before the music even started. And I remember the announcers always shat themselves.
the shit.
Great pick. Jericho Walls. All right. All right. There's one there, but I know I can leave that one to the end because I'm pretty sure you're not going to take it. I'm going to have to take Demon Balor.
Yeah.
Right here.
It's a brilliant entrance. Brilliant entrance.
That's music, pageantry for you.
Yeah, yeah. The way he does it. Like, obviously, the way he's dressed and the makeup and all that kind of stuff, but the music, the smoke, the way he crawls out, just the heartbeat, like, everything about that is so good.
I feel like there was one takeover where that entrance went for, like, 15 minutes.
Yeah, yeah. It felt like forever.
He certainly milks it, but, yeah, so good. Just, yeah, the heartbeat, the red lights going off.
Yeah.
So good.
Great pick. All right. I'm going to go old school here, and I'm not going to pick that one. No, I've changed my mind. I'm going to go with Batista.
Batista, okay.
Yeah. You know, like, his music hits, everyone loves it. He comes out, he just stands there, and he gets drops down, does the machine gun, and just, yeah, the pyro behind him when he does it. I think people love it.
Okay, I feel you. I didn't actually have Batista on my list, to be honest, but... I feel you. All right. Okay, when he first came over, this entrance was awesome. Who's that jumping out the sky? R-E-Y. Rey Mysterio popping up.
Yeah, he was on my list.
Had the pyro. He popped up out of the ground. Love that.
Awesome pick.
Old school Rey Mysterio.
Again, I had Rey Mysterio above Batista, and I've got him screwed myself again.
You're going with the heart, mate. You're going with the heart.
All right. I'm going to go with my number one pick's brother, Kane. But early on, Kane, when he had Paul Bearer, you know, just the big red machine, Kane, that eerie music, the real slow walk down, similar to the Undertaker's entrance, especially, and just the way Paul Bearer would be like, oh, yeah, like all over him. And
did it? It started with the flames too, right?
Yeah. The flames hit.
Yeah.
And then.
Just,
and then he slowly comes out. Like,
then he also had his
bang in the ring with the four going up and stuff like that as well. So, yeah, from start to finish, pyro and just the scariness of it. Like, kids in the crowd were shitting themselves. Like, the first time Undertaker ever came out. So.
Yeah, great pick there. He was right up there for me. Next, I am going to take. It sounds like I'm a mark for these guys. I'm not a massive mark for them, but I seem to take them a lot in drafts. The Shield.
The Shield. I knew you were going to say that.
The Shield just, you know, I mean, I know they kind of ruined it by having their music be Roman Reigns' music for so long. But yeah, just that music, them coming through the crowd when they first started there too, you know, they were just causing havoc. Shield coming through the crowd like they own the joint.
Yeah, I had him as well. I think that's a great pick. All right. What do I got? Two left.
You do.
All right. I'm going to take Dalla Dalla, Dalla Dalla, Ching Ching, Bling Bling, bit of Shane O'Mac.
Shane O'Mac. Okay. Yeah.
Shane O'Mac comes out doing his dance, whatever else, he's fight, and just the swagger about him. He gets in the ring, keeps going. The music's great. You know, pageantry, like you said.
Absolutely. And one of the great wrestling theme songs.
Oh, yeah.
So good.
What else?
This is where it gets started. I've got a couple of, like, favorites, which I don't know if, you know, I'm kind of more marking out for them than anything else. I'm going to take the NWO.
Yeah.
just the you know, the black and white, that theme music, it's so iconic.
Hogan coming out with the belt, playing it.
Got the belt. We've got, you know, Scott Hall doing his thing. Yeah, so good. They didn't need pyro. The screen went black and white. It was fuzzy and
New World Order. Yeah,
love it. NWA for me.
Yeah. All right. Last pick. This is the one I said before I was going to pick. I'm going to go old school player, wrestler, and I hated this wrestler personally, but
Bret Hart.
No, I was going to take Bret Hart. I love Bret Hart. His entrance wasn't much. The music was great for Bret Hart, and he'd give the kid the glasses, but it wasn't much of an entrance.
It's boring music for boring wrestling. Go on.
Hey, that's enough out of you. This guy's entrance was very, very quick.
Oh, very okay. I know where you're going with this one.
Ultimate Warrior.
Calling him a wrestler is pretty
his
kind.
It's an iconic entrance. Like, he just sprints to the ring with those tassels and just... it's an iconic entrance.
Yeah, so absolutely.
I'm putting it on best entrances. It's more of an iconic entrance, but it's my last pick, so I'm happy to do it.
Okay, I like it. Well, I might go a little bit out of the box with my last pick too. And I'm going old school, new school. And you'll understand when I say Bobby Roode, glorious.
Yeah.
That entrance in NXT come up. He'd be turning around.
Yeah.
He's got that theme music was just incredible at the time. That was pageantry.
Yeah.
That was he was so over in NXT too.
Yeah. Well, I don't have any more picks, but I mean,
we could go 10 more rounds.
No, we won't. But my next, similar to you, like that NXT, I was going to pick this other person, but I think Adam Cole's entrance as well, like, just, you know, the boom. It's
the crowd participation.
Adam Cole, baby. Like, all that. Like, anything to do with the crowd is awesome. So,
yeah.
That's an honorable mention for me.
Okay.
Honorable
mention. Take us through your honorable mentions, Benny.
Another honorable mention. Well, you got Cena, The Rock. I don't know if it's just more people marking out for them. Another honorable for me is Vince McMahon, just with that walk. With the grapefruits, like the Conor McGregor, like that's where he got it from, you know what I mean? So, and then what else have I got on here? Oh, Edge, of course, as well. How did we forget Edge? What about you? Any honorables for you?
To be honest, I didn't have any of those honorable mentions on my list.
There you go.
I think I kind of went another way. I was like, okay, Sting,
yeah,
good entrance. But, you know, thinking back to, you know, when I was a teenage boy watching WWE, The Godfather's entrance was pretty cool to me.
Yeah. The whole train
coming out. I love that the Matt Hardy 2.0 entrance. I thought that was pretty cool.
With the stuff on the side of the screen, like all the stupid facts and everything.
Like the computer screen.
Yeah.
I thought Tyler Breeze's a few years ago was pretty different, just with the selfie stick the whole time.
Yeah.
Jericho's Judas one is obviously great participation there. There's not much else to it. I mean, he gets pyro, but.
Yeah.
Crowd participation. DDP in WCW.
Yeah.
Just that self high five, just blatant ripoff of Nirvana.
What about Goldust? Goldust's entrance was pretty good as well.
God, the 24 Karat Productions.
Yeah.
And they pillar box the screen.
Yeah, made it like it was like a cinematic experience.
That looked like the movies.
Yeah. That was pretty cool.
DX is obviously great. Crowd participation. Now, these guys, close to my heart, love Enzo and Big Cass.
Oh, yes. Yes.
That was an entrance. When they first came up from NXT, and I think they came out to take on the Dudleys or something, the crowd popped so hard for it.
Yeah.
They so were good. What else we got? The Acclaimed. Love.
Yeah, that's who I thought you were going to say before you said Enzo and Big Cass.
I thought about taking the Acclaimed. Young Bucks, kind of cool with the streamers. Taz's original one with the lights with out.
And the towel orange, over the head.
The orange smoke, the towel over the head.
Yeah.
And last one I had here, so many. Bailey's wacky waving inflatable arm.
Yeah, yeah.
She's giving out hugs to the crowd. That same girl was at every show that she used to hug.
Yeah.
Yeah. I suppose you could, like JBL when he used to come out, like it was just every pompous as hell, but everybody hated him. So he was over hard.
In the limos. I mean, WWE, they might not always have the best wrestling, but they probably got the best entrance.
Oh, yeah. Well, there was like, we didn't have anybody really. Like I had Sandman, but I mean, they WWE bought ECW. So I guess, you know, we didn't have anybody from AEW.
No.
Because their entrances are very, they don't focus on that stuff. They focus more on the wrestling.
And the music. The music is great for the AEW entrance.
Yeah.
I mean, Adam Cole arguably could have been up there, but yeah. All right. Well, let's go through the list, Benny. You had Undertaker, Triple H, Sandman, HBK, the New Age Outlaws, Break Down the Walls, the Jericho entrance, Batista, Kane, Shane O'Mac, and the Ultimate Warrior. For me, I had Goldberg, The Brood, Bray Wyatt, Stone Cold Steve Austin, Eddie Guerrero, Demon Balor, Rey Mysterio, The Shield, the NWO, and the glorious Bobby Roode. That was a good draft, Benny.
Good picks.
We just
rattled off another 15 honorable mentions. We probably could do another 15, you know what I mean? So,
and I'd cut that list down too.
Yeah. Well, I only had 25 written down here, but then I said a couple more that I thought of as well. So
That was one of the most fun going back through.
I went down a rabbit hole again today. Like I already had my list and then I just started looking for more ones. And I watched like 3 25-minute videos on YouTube of all these entrances. I was like, oh, change my list again. Like
YouTube.
There's things that you forget. Like you just, oh, what about that guy? Yeah.
YouTube can just absolutely kill your time. All right. Now let's wrap it up, Benny. That's the show for the week. Thanks for joining us. We're going to be back in a few weeks. We'll preview SummerSlam. We'll do a bit of a recap of Death Before Dishonor as well. Benny, once again, thanks for your time.
Thanks, Dill. It's a pleasure as always, mate.
And we'll see you peeps again next time on the 3 Count Podcast.